Quincy felt that the checklist wasn't a bad tool. Human resources departments of many major corporations routinely used it to identify potentially dangerous employees. In the wake of school shootings, school counselors across the country had also requested the information for their offices. Unfortunately, the checklist was proving too vague when applied to youthful offenders. What was situational stress for an 11-year-old? Getting braces? Having a pimple? Breaking up? What was a history of violence for a grade school boy? Throwing rocks? Tearing wings off flies? Engaging in rough sports? Add to that the significant number of children who came from broken homes, and that every teenager worth his salt felt deeply and grievously wronged by life, and a statistically improbable number of youths emerged as future homicidal maniacs. Hardly an encouraging thought. Children were simply too hard for adults to understand or predict in the best of circumstances. Their coping skills were limited. They were a bundle of hormones, and they generally believed everything must happen now, today, immediately, with no thought of long-term consequences. Finally, juveniles were highly motivated by peer pressure, a rare factor in adult homicide. Children were also proving more susceptible to media images and outside influences such as cults and hate groups. In short, the more Quincy learned, the more he realized how much he had left to learn. This would be a long assignment. Years, he was beginning to think, of spending quality time with kids who killed kids. He was both intrigued by the task and repelled by it. In other words, his general state of mind. The fastened seatbelt light came on. The plane was preparing for descent. Quincy gathered up Danny O'Grady's interview tape and notes, his brow furrowed. He didn't have much information on the case yet, but already there were a number of elements that bothered him. The shooting of the teacher seemed so exact, for one thing. He wanted to know more about her and Danny's relationship. Then there was the timing of the shooting. Why, when all the students had gone back into class? That struck him as an attack strategy devised to limit the amount of damage, as if the shooter didn't want many people hurt. Finally, there was the interview. Judging by the tone of the child's voice, Quincy would bet he'd been in a state of shock. Not the best time for a thorough interrogation. Plus, while the investigating officer had done a nice job of trying to open the boy up by resorting to simpler questions, she had used too many leading questions. That was always dangerous with children, as they were prone to giving the answer they thought the adult desired, instead of the right answer. Danny's repeated reference to being smart bothered Quincy as well. Something else needed to be asked. He wondered what the chances were of the boy's lawyer agreeing to an interview. Then he wondered what the chances were of the local police welcoming his assistance with the case. Supervisory Special Agent Pierce Quincy smiled. A local police officer welcome a Fed with open arms? Hardly. He was already placing bets on which expletive Officer Lorraine Connor would use first.